And we're talking about the Voodoo Doll spell book. Listen to this one. How to keep a person frustrated and unsuccessful. We'll be back with Denise Alvarado and your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Denise Alvarado with us. Denise, have you practiced voodoo for yourself?
Well, voodoo, I mean, it's a lifestyle, so yeah. I mean, it's like asking a Christian if they've, you know,
prayed,
practiced Christianity for themselves. I mean, you live it. You live a certain way.
I mean, has it worked for you?
Yeah, it has. It has in many, many different ways. And then sometimes, you know, things that I've petitioned the spirits for, it hasn't come through. So, you know.
How much of this is positive thinking? You know, just believing in something and it happens.
I think a lot of it is. I think a lot of it is mindset. You know, it's your core belief system. If you have confidence, if you have a good relationship with your ancestors, you know, if you have a good relationship with the spirits that you serve, then you have to believe that they're going to come through for you. And when you believe and you don't, and you serve them correctly, then they come through for you. I mean, that's what they're for. The laws, which is what the spirits of voodoo are called, that's what they're here for. They're like the saints of Catholicism. You know, they're intermediaries between people mm-hmm. and the great God.
Well, what's the purpose, for example, of the amulets, the oils, the hexes, the blessings, the spells? What does that do to this? I mean, why do you need those?
Because people are ritualistic by nature. We have rituals every day in everything that we do. It's just another aspect of that ritualistic behavior that's, you know, part of being human. Everybody has rituals that they do, you know, from the time of day that they brush their teeth to, you know, to bigger, more important rituals like, you know, rites of passage, graduation, things like that. I mean, we're ritualistic by nature. So if I go through a particular ritual for improving my financial situation, for example, that makes me mindful of what I need to do, what I need to focus on in my life. That makes me focus my intention on improving my relationship with money. That makes me, you know, look at the things in my life that I need to get rid of, and so I'll do, a spell to get rid of those things that are negatively impacting my financial situation, and I will do another spell, or part of the same ritual would be to enhance the good things that will help grow my financial situation.
I like this one. To cause a thief to be frozen in time.
Yeah.
I like that. Just freeze them in time.
Right. So they can't move. Huh. They can't do it anymore.
How close does the doll have to be to the likeness of the person?
Oh, it doesn't have to be, you know, any kind of real work of art. It just has to resemble them in a way that you recognize them as the person they represent. So, I mean, just a photo. I mean, we have what's called tag locks.
What's that?
A tag lock is a personal effect. So if you're close enough to a person, say, like your boss, and you want a raise, or you want a you know, different position, then you can like grab a business card of your boss.
Be careful.
and use that as like or a piece of stationery or a signature of theirs, and you can use that because that's something that was associated with them, something that they've touched. You use that and you attach it to the doll, and that is enough to make that doll represent that person, that boss.
Hey, boss, sorry I'm in your office here, but I'm just looking for business cards. Got to be careful. All right, let's take some calls for you. Joe is in Clarksville, Georgia. Welcome to the program. Joe, you're on with Denise Alvarado. Go ahead.
Hello, Captain George Inouye. How you doing, sir?
I am fine, sir. Thank you.
It's great. Hey, Denise.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Honey, you might want to be real careful about some of that conjuring up stuff, honey. That ain't something you just play around, and I think I'll jump from here to there and there to here, and we got that, and I got this feeling that you're taking it that way. I'm not knocking you down, or I'm not anything. Hear me out. But you get in this serious stuff there when you start talking about justifying conjuring, and I ain't talking about no movie neither. I mean a real thing, and honey, you might want to be careful some of that. I'll take the answer back. I'll let you go. I'm gonna take it off though.
All right, Joseph. Thanks. You better be careful there, Denise.
Yeah.
He cares about you.
I appreciate the concern. Next.
Oh, so you're not gonna take his advice, are you?
Well, to assume that I'm not careful just is it's an assumption.
Don't put a hex on him now.
I wouldn't do that.
Yes, you would.
No, I would not. Nah.
I better be careful how far I push you tonight.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
Go on my website, grab a little picture of me, and all
make
of a sudden,
doll,
there's a little
send it
doll,
to you.
And things just aren't working out. My ratings are plummeting. Things just aren't happening for me. No. Be nice to me now.
No.
Wildcard line, Daryl in Sacramento. Hey, Daryl, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're great. I should warn everyone, you call at your own risk tonight.
Okay. Hey, Denise, I remember as a kid coming up, and we knew, parents and the older boyfriends and girlfriends, they just couldn't leave their boyfriend and girlfriend, and we used to say... We used to think that there was a saying that if you bury their clothes in the yard or the undergarment or something of that nature, they would never leave, or would put a spell or something on them to keep them from leaving. Where did that come from, and can you explain that whole theory?
Sure. That's an old hoodoo practice. If you want to keep somebody around, you take something of theirs that is a personal effect, like a sock or underwear was a common item to take, and you would fix it up with some herbs or oils or a written petition, and you would bury it in your own yard if they live with you and you want them to stay, and that is supposed to keep them close to you.
Huh, interesting. You know, it's kind of ironic, too, because if you bury a St. Joseph statue,
mm-hmm,
and say a certain little prayer,
right,
it's good to sell your house, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm quite familiar with that. It's good to bless your house, too, with him.
They even sell little kits of him, and for people who just want to sell a house.
Right.
Bizarre.
I've put those together for people, personally.
Let's go to Virginia. Dean's with us east of the Rockies. Hi, Dean. You're up with us. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Dean.
Hello?
Yep.
Hi, yeah, this is Dan. I was just going to offer something. I've been studying the Buddhist religion. I've been reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead recently, and they talk a lot about the cause and effect of the behaviors in this world, and when you die, there's an intermediate state that you go through before you transition to another, either rebirth or liberation. And they talk about, one of the major things they talk about is to what happens, the things that you do in this lifetime, the bad things affect you, And the best thing to do is to pray to all sentient beings and have compassion and love. So the putting spells, you know, I have no opinion on that. You know, I don't, whether it's good or bad, but it just appears to me that to have compassion and love for every sentient being would be the best result, to have the best, you know, other life, to be reborn again. And it kind of seems like to put spells on people, whether good or bad, and again, not being judgmental, it's kind of a scary proposition to me. And that's just on my own opinion of reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which says that you go through an intermediate state before you're reborn again. And the whole idea is to obtain liberation so you don't go through the cyclic rebirth. And they talk about cause and effect. So I guess my question is how do you feel about when you do a spell, whether good or bad? Do you have any regrets or grievances of that, or do you have? Is it completely okay with you? And I'll take my question off of you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Do you forge ahead, or do you have regrets at all, Denise?
I am very careful as to what I do personally. I think things through very carefully. I do not act. I do not react. I act with intention. And, you know, Buddhism is actually not as alien from voodoo as you might think. There is a belief in cause and effect. We believe that how you live your life is how you die. If you die, like the individual was saying, depending on how you lived, you may be stuck in the afterlife. And so those of us here, what we do is called elevate that particular person's spirit through prayer so that they can move forward. And we focused a lot about on cursing in our discussion tonight, but really voodoo is about healing.
It's about good stuff.
It really is.
That's, but there's that's that really, mixture.
It's you know, I want to make sure that people understand there's that the focus is it's a healing religion. Voodoo, on the other hand, is more of whatever works to get you to the next step kind of practice.
You have any special rituals with the group of people who practice this?
There's definitely group rituals that can be done. I personally am a more of an individual practitioner. However, there are temples and houses that people belong to where the community aspect of it is returning. It had to go underground for quite some time because of the social and political circumstances in the South, but it's coming, you know, it's been more out in the open in the past 20 years or so, and people are openly practicing and like I said, have temples and people, you know, belong to them and it can be either way.
Well, people do seem to be fascinated with this.
Yeah.
Any idea why?
Well, I don't know. I guess because it's different. People are always searching. I think the imagery that's portrayed in the media, you know, causes a lot of that fascination. There's a lot of that sensationalism that's associated with it, and people want to understand it. They want to know more about it.
Let's go to Doria in Las Vegas. Maybe you can give her a lucky spell, Denise. Hi, Doria. Go ahead.
Hello, Denise. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty well. I have a question for you, dear. I'm a practitioner. I practice the white magic, and I utilize the candles, the incense, and so forth. Mm-hmm. I heard about some jar spells, and I'd just like to know, I have one that I recently did for, like, bothersome neighbors, and it worked beautifully. Mm-hmm. However, I like to know which is a good jar spell to use to bring more luck into your life. Does not be spontaneous, but just to bring more luck and mm-hmm. more fortune into your life.
Right. Bottle spells are great. I love bottle spells, jar spells, container spells. Mm-hmm. Here's a really good one. If you have plants, doing a potted plant spell is really good to plant. Get like a piece of fruit, like an apple or an orange, and hollow it out. And inside that apple or orange, you're going to want to put things like five finger grass, mint, basil, a lodestone, some magnetic sand, and a petition, for example. Writing what you want drawn to you. And then you would take that and you can anoint it with like fast luck oil or a luck drawing oil of some sort. And then you can bury that in the pot itself and then plant a pot, like a plant that is in itself a money drawer, like a jade plant, for example, and set that by your front door so that it attracts good things to you. It attracts that financial, uh-huh. that good luck to you. You can do the same thing. Instead of doing it in a potted plant, you could do the same thing, putting those same, similar types of ingredients in a jar and burying it in uh-huh. your front yard, under your porch or in a garden, for example.
Uh-huh. Right. Which we have one outside our front door. Like a garden area with plants and bushes and what have you.
Yeah, that would be good to do that. You'd want to put some money drawing, things into the or luck drawing things into the jar and plant it.
Now, how about curses and Doria? How about this? You need it to rain out in Las Vegas, right?
Actually, we've had a lot of rain out here the last couple of days.
Oh, really? Good.
I think it's California that needs
it. It needs it, yeah. And Yosemite's on fire and everything. Denise, how can you do a spell for rain?
For rain.
What do you think of that? Can you?
You can. Well.
Think about that.
I'd have to think about that.
Put together something for us. Hey, the Voodoo Doll Spellbook, is it available all over the place?
It's everywhere, even Walmart.
Really? You got it in Walmart? How'd you pull that off?
Well, that's my wonderful publisher, Wiser Books.
They're good people.
Yes.
It used to be called Samuel Wiser a long, long time ago.
Right.
I bet you did a spell. Probably
you did. Never know.
All right, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take some private and personal calls and also final calls as we talk about the Voodoo Doll Spellbook. So if you have any personal questions, fire away. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Denise Alvarado as we talk about her work, the Voodoo Doll Spellbook. What do the pins represent, Denise, again, in the dolls?
The pins are a small part of working a doll. The pins are what activate the magic. So they activate the intention that you have that you're working the doll for. They're also used to attach photos or attach petitions to them. Pretty straightforward.
Are they strategically located, when you stick them into the doll?
Yes. That's like I mentioned before, if you're doing a healing doll and mm-hmm. say you're suffering from a stomach ache or a headache, if it's a headache, then you would focus your intention on alleviating the pain in the head area, and that's where you would stick a pin if you're using pins. Not everybody uses pins. In fact, most practitioners don't really use pins. So, I mean, that's kind of a... a touristy thing. It's a practice that's kind of dropped off.
Where do you get some of the ingredients that you've got in the spells in the book? I mean, where do you find things like that?
I'm a swamper. I'm an old-time swamper. I grew up around the swamps. I spent time in the swamps and in the woods. I go out and I get my roots and I get my herbs. Now with the internet, though, you can go online and you can buy stuff that you need. But, you know, the old-time way, old-style way is to use what you've got in your cupboard, in your kitchen, use what you've got in your yard, or use what you've got in, you know, the area that you live.
How long does it normally take for the spell to kick in?
Depends on the work, and it depends on the situation, depends on a lot of variables. But usually, you know, you would see, if it's going to be effective, you'd see results within a month. That's given a good...
Is that considered fast?
That's realistic. Fast would be right away. Fast would be within a couple of days. Fast would be...
That happens, though, right?
Oh, sure. Sure. Huh. Sure does.
And in terms of people who want to do curses, what would you recommend to them? Stay away from it?
Yeah, I mean, there's usually so much other things you can do about a situation before resorting to that. Like, for example, take a look at your own role in your situation. is work justified? You know, like I said, if your child's been kidnapped and murdered, if your child's been the victim of a molester, child molester, those, if you've been raped, those particular situations, is very empowering for a person to be able to take action on a magical, spiritual level.
I think I'd do a little bit more than just do a curse, believe
me. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, most people feel that way.
Let's go to Rod in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Rod, thanks for calling. Go ahead, you're on with Denise.
Hey, George. I'm Miss Alvarado.
Hello.
Well, you know, I wanted to say something about the nail fetch. You mentioned earlier on, something you were alluding to, the nail fetishes. Now, there's a Congolese nail fetish.
Right.
And the chieftain of every society uses the nails, pretty much what you said about the needles for the dolls, the pins for the dolls.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's a chieftain, he takes on an awful lot for the villagers. And
right.
By the same measure, it's called impressionism. So therefore, you draw the energy from whatever ailment or whatever goal you have, and the effigy of the chief is used, basically. That's what the nail fetishes are for.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe you're the most objective person that's been on here for a while, because people come on the program and they have discussions with regard to certainty about things that are so uncertain. You have to cross the line. None of us really know what's across the abyss until we take that individual trip ourselves. It's all speculation. We have to choose to believe a certain dogma. And there's a difference between belief and understanding. I think that's the biggest failure of most of us.
Rod, thanks for your comments. Appreciate that. Good, good phone call. Indeed. So when you wake up in the morning, Denise, do you go right back into this? What do you do?
When I wake up in the morning, I make sure the water on my ancestral altar is filled and fresh, and I make sure it's tidy. I go outside and I say my prayers to my ancestors. I say my prayers to the spirits and to Mother Earth, and then I carry on my day.
Let's go to Chris in Toronto now. Hi, Chris.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Okay, good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Denise, how's it going, hon?
Good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I'm loving the discussion earlier in terms of ethics. So I guess that kind of puts me in the position of asking a question, and also a commentary as well.
Sure. You there?
Hello?
Hello, Chris. Hello, Chris. Are you there? Man, he got clipped off right
there.
Oh,
we lost him.
Yep, sure did. It sounded like his phone went dead. Oh, well. Let's go to Joseph in Corpus Christi, Texas, until Chris can try to get back on. Joseph, go ahead.
Hello, George. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, not so good for me. I had a really bad month. I'm trying to figure out if I'm, like, really cursed. I had everything go wrong in my life.
Oh, boy.
And just, you know, I got everything from my AC not working to a check in the mail that was supposed to get got lost, and my landlord pretty much kicking me out, and I'm like, what the heck is going on?
All right, how do we pull the cloud away from him, Denise? Wow.
Well, that's not really enough information for me to do a very good prescription for. I really need to talk to him in depth to find out more about his situation, but I would start with, it sounds like you're really overwhelmed, and so it's really a good thing to start with one thing at a time that you can take care of, that you can do.
Instead of all of them.
Right.
Right away.
Instead of looking at the whole thing, because usually when we look at everything that's going on, it incapacitates us. We can't move forward. We feel stuck. But there's certainly something in all of that you do have some control over. I don't know what it is. Like I said, I don't know enough about the situation. But you may want to do a blessing on yourself and your family. If you live with a family, bless your house. Get some sage and burn some sage. Say some prayers to your higher power, whoever that is.
Can people reach you through your website, Denise?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just go to the website and contact and send me an email or catch me on Facebook.
In your career, what has been for you probably the most fascinating aspect of what you've done with Voodoo?
The most fascinating aspect is just how much control we think we have by ourselves. How much we need each other, and how much we need the spirits, and how willing they are to help us. More often than not, they come through. It's amazing, really.
They're there for us, aren't they?
They really are. We just have to ask them. We just have to ask them for their help. I mean, that's what they're for.
Knocking the door will open. That's the old saying.
Exactly.
Let's go to Ann in Los Angeles. Ann, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. Hi, Denise.
Hi.
Hi.
I know this topic brings a lot of Twilight Zone memories for you, George.
It sure does.
I mean, it's been forever. Like you said, this is as old as Egyptian magic and stones, all that type of thing. But, you know, they tried to do it to me a couple of times. I had long, long hair. I still do. And I had bangs like that girl, Marlo Thomas. And on a nice Easter morning, I wake up feeling well, put the comb through my bangs, and all of them, every single piece fell up into the sink.
Oh, my gosh.
Immediately, my family all around me, every race and religion in my family said, they put the evil eye on you. They put the evil eye. I even got a figure all the way from Cuba, blessed by some figure.
Was it your hair, Anna, or was it a wig?
No, it was my hair. And you know what's bad? Every doctor in L.A. couldn't find the meaning. They said, well, you have scars. Did they burn you with a cigarette lighter? No, I don't smoke. I don't have a car. And everybody just tested and tested. Half of my family were into a... They were hairdressers, and none of them had seen this. They said,
somebody put a spell on you.
Exactly. That's what they all said. They have the evil eye on you. You know, they're Latino.
Wow. Did your hair grow back?
Well, I'm a tough cookie, so I resorted to reading everything on it. My family, I have a lot of hairdressers in my family. No one could help me. And I thought, who has more hair coming out of each hair follicle? And the Orientals do. So I resorted to making my own chemistry, and I grew it back. But it grew back almost like a beard, and it'd stand in line. Feeling my hair was so tough and different color, but it grew back. But I have a feeling, Denise, what do you think? I mean, they sent me the figure in every size, almost the size of my fist. And I think it's also a lot of what George talks about on the program, positive thinking or negative thinking, because you have your thoughts as you're doing the conjuring, And I notice you do believe in a higher power. And I think it's got to do a lot with our will and our culture.
I agree. Excuse me. Yes, I agree with that. It does have to do with our mindset, our beliefs, and the messages we tell ourselves.
How scary would that be? Huh? You wake up in the morning and your hair's all falling out?
That would freak me out. That would be scary.
Let me see. Let's look in your book here. How to make someone's hair fall out.
Well, you know.
Nope, I don't see one of those.
No.
You missed that one.
Well, you know. There's always volume two, right?
Austin's in Louisiana. Hello, Austin. Go ahead.
Hello, Denise. It's Austin.
No way. Austin. Oh,
how
my God.
Are you? My gosh. Yeah, I listen to George Norrie all the time. Incidentally, George, you have an amazing show.
Thank you, Austin.
Very, very good. And this is, I'm a first-time caller. I just called up to say hello to Denise, but also we were in a band together back in 1990. Incidentally, Denise has a great singing voice.
Uh-huh.
She's incredible. She's she can belt out Pat Benatar like you would not believe. But anyway.
Austin, I want to give you such a big hug right now. Oh, my gosh. I have not talked to you in forever.
Well, I talked to you about a couple of months after Katrina hit us.
Yeah.
And you wanted to see if we were okay. And I said, yeah, everything seems to be fine. I'm just calling to throw positive hellos to you. And how did you get into this? Because I don't remember you being involved with this back then. We were all just so engulfed in playing music so much. I don't remember you studying the voodoo thing at the time. How did it come about?
Well, I don't know if you heard the first part of the show or anything, but you know, I was into this path since I was very, very young, and I really kept a lot. I didn't share it with a lot of people. You know, we were so busy at the time with, you know, doing music and whatnot, and I wasn't open with everybody about it, not even you, despite all the other things we were open with each other about. It's just a lot. I think at that point in my life, too, I had pushed a lot of that aside, and I wasn't working this path.
Do you still sing, Denise?
I still sing. I sing as a medicine woman, actually in ceremonies now. So.
What does a chant like that go? How does it sound?
It sounds like, what, you want me to sing you a song?
Just a little one, yeah.
Okay. Here's a healing song. It's an Indian healing song. You know when I want to hear na way yo hey na way na hey na yo way.
Hey, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
You do have a good voice.
It's different than what Austin's used to.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to Brandon, Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Brandon. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you doing?
Good, today? Brandon. Thank you.
Denise, first of all, I must apologize because I only caught the very end of the show. So if you had to repeat yourself, I am sorry for that. What I wanted to ask, it has a little bit of a story to it. My mother-in-law was actually excommunicated from the Catholic Church, and she was actually very distraught about it, and she converted to paganism. She does, as of right now, she actually practices hoodoo, which, if I'm not mistaken, is like voodoo. But there's a lot of light magic that goes into it, and it's a lot of positive energy. She never uses magic to get back at somebody or never uses any sort of evil entities. But she also holds on to the Christian religion. She actually tells everybody that she's a bad Christian because she practices paganism, but she's a bad pagan because she still believes in the Holy Trinity. Now, is that... would that be considered sacrilegious, or what is your views on that? Is that all right for somebody to kind of be a hybrid like that? And with that, I'll take my question off the air.
Sure thing.
Well, You know, I'm not somebody that judges people's personal spiritual paths. My first thought is that sounds confused, because to call yourself a pagan and then to call yourself a believer in the Holy Trinity, which is a Christian concept, that's two conflicting religions.
I didn't even know they excommunicated anymore. You know what?
And well, and then hoodoo is not voodoo, so that's a little different as well. You know, but you know, people find their own way, and whatever works for her, you know, good for her.
Well, right? Denise, don't forget, do the rain in Southern California spell. Would you?
The rain in Southern California. You know, the only thing I can think of with rain, other than like an out-and-out Indian ceremony, which would involve community and dancing and whatnot, is old-timer spells that I just don't want to say on the air, because I don't want some freak doing what I wouldn't want them to do.
Well, do whatever you can do, okay?
Well, most of the old hoodoo works involve killing a reptile to make the rain come.
We don't want that to happen.
Yeah, you know, that's it's late, George, and that's all that's coming to me right now.
We love reptiles. Denise, thanks for being on the program. The Voodoo Doll Spellbook. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, whom I'm going to cast a curse on tonight, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.